WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 3rd of January, Anno Domini 2004. Happy New Year, everybody, and welcome to Soundbites. We'll be here till 4 o'clock with all kinds of news, views, and stuff you can use. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Craig Schaller, pushing the buttons.
Yes, indeed, and we are here with everything you want to know about computers for the new year. We're going to start with some news, and I believe we'll start with Steve, because he's champing at the bit.
Or champing at the microphone.
Or one of the other.
Hey, they're working now.
Can we Lysol that down when he's done? Because
we wound up fixing his microphone. I came in and wound up fixing his microphone and his chair so he could sit in.
So the chair won't tip over and the mic won't droop.
So to speak. Go ahead. Go ahead.
The biggest news in the Apple community is the impending Macworld Expo that starts Tuesday in San Francisco. Actually, a lot of the pre-show show is actually running now. many of the Mac faithful show up the weekend before the actual show starts. And one of the big rumors...
It's like Woodstock for you, isn't it?
Almost. The real big question is going to be what happens this summer. The traditional summer Macworld show has been in Boston for years. And then when Boston got to be the city of construction, which I hear is almost done now, 10 years and $10 billion over budget, but
excellent.
Almost done, the IDG World Expo moved it to New York. And that was a big center for the ad agencies and print shops and the traditional Mac market. Well, now that Boston's construction is done, there's a new hotel and convention center. There's a convention center is big enough to hold a 60,000 person trade show now. That the show's sponsor, IDG World Expo, is moving the show back to Boston. And Apple said, Steve Jobs specifically said, no, we like New York. And the president of IDG said, well, we made a deal with Boston. We're going to Boston. And Steve said, well, okay, I won't come.
Jesus crackers.
So there's.
And if you don't let me play, I'm taking my marbles and go home.
And then IDG said, well, maybe you can't come to San Francisco. You know, you're being coastist. You know, they're going to go to the San Francisco show in January, but they're skipping the East Coast show.
You're being coastist.
Yes, so we can't have that. So Apple is definitely going to be at the San Francisco show. Steve Jobs' keynote address on Tuesday is going to be simulcast on the Internet, so everyone can watch. 9 a.m. Pacific time. So what is that? 1 o'clock Eastern time.
12.
9. 9, 10, yeah, 12. I always have to count time zones. I forget. So noon Eastern time. You can go to apple.com and follow the QuickTime links for the.
On what day?
Tuesday morning, I believe it is.
Okay.
And suddenly I sound different.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And
nice. What do we
do? So the big rumor now is that what's going to happen in the summer, where Macworld is going to be, and if Apple will be there or not. But then the rumors for this San Francisco show, even though I work for an Apple dealer, we never know until they get announced anyway. But
right.
There are rumors of new products, and the biggest rumor is for a cheaper iPod. The iPod was one of the big hot-selling items in the Christmas season, and we finally got our last shipment of 30 units in, so we have some in stock now.
Excellent!
Cool.
But the big rumors are about...
Which, of course, nobody's going to buy one now because they're all waiting for the cheap one to come
out. See what happens, yeah. The rumors are that there's going to be a $100 player, maybe in the 5-gig range, for a more cost-conscious consumer. But then the
save one for me.
Save one, yeah.
Seriously.
The concerns there is it's going to cannibalize the sales of the existing models. People are already paying $300 to $500 for a 10 to 40 gig model, so they're going to cannibalize those sales. And the other issue is, can they make an iPod for $100? It's using a very tiny hard drive. It's a 1.8-inch hard drive. It's smaller than a laptop hard drive, and they aren't that cheap. So they get a unit for $100?
Well, they can make them for $100. It's what they're going to sell them for.
Right.
Yeah, that.
Right. Yeah, you're right. They have to make them for 50 to sell them for 100.
Yeah.
I suppose if you buy enough of those drives.
Yeah, if you get enough in quantity, you might be able to do it.
So the deal is, what else can they put them in?
Right.
Aha!
The other half of the rumor is that it's going to be a flash memory-based unit and not a hard drive-based unit. But that sort of...
5 gig of flash memory?
That's even more expensive.
Exactly.
Yeah. We just looked up last week. A 2 gig flash card reader or flash card module is $500 by itself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that can't be true. And the iPod's differentiating feature is the massive hard drive it has in it. So it wouldn't really even be an iPod anymore.
Right. Well, still, 5 gig is a lot. I mean, most of them have 128 meg.
Right. So instead of a flash memory reader that can hold a couple hundred songs, even a 5 gig iPod or a 1 gig iPod could hold, you know, 1,000 songs.
Right.
And interesting, you know, attack at a lower end of the market where price is more.
Or half more of my old time Radio Jack Benny collection.
If you take 1,000 songs, say at an average of 3 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, MP3 is about a minute. So
the real question is, can it play OGS?
That's the next question. The newest iPods, and actually with software update, the older iPods can play ACC, which is the Advanced Coding Codec, or Advanced Compression Codec, something like that, developed by Dolby Research Labs for high-quality, high compression. So it's about the same compression rate as MP3 to a mega minute, but it's a higher audio quality than MP3. The OGG compression is about the same concept. It's better compression with better audio qualities
right.
at the same file size. So we'll have to see how the industry moves into MP3 to ACC.
But ACC is still proprietary, right?
Proprietary to, you know, Dolby, you can license it and put it in any player.
That's the point behind OGG
is
free. There is no MP3 is licensed.
Right.
All the rest of them are licensed.
The one big issue with ACC is it has the digital rights management that Apple needs to legally sell songs, and that's what made it attractive
to the music industry. Right.
The Windows Media Format that Microsoft and some of the other players are using also has the digital rights management built into it. And it's inarguably a lower quality signal.
Yeah.
So it's always that trade-off between, you know, what the lawyers need and what the people want.
Right? Yeah. Well, but my question is not what's its native format, but will it play OGS? Because I'm putting all my stuff in OGS, stuff I legally own, because I like the compression and I like the fact that it's free. I don't have to pay anybody for it.
Right. So that's going to be the question is what formats it will support.
Yep, we'll see. We'll be following
like
that. Save my. I'm putting in my order for a $100 iPod.
Though, gives you quite a bit of total recorder rather. Gives you a lot of flexibility in changing things and changing compression rates. And for my 10-year, I mean, you know, and even my MP3 player.
And it's as good ear that's the tin ear, so you can imagine.
Well, we got in a big argument on one of the nets I read the other day that one guy is saying everyone hates MP3. Or no, they hate audio CDs because the quality is so low. You know, 44K is just unacceptable.
Right.
And so everyone else is reporting back, I love audio CDs. I can't tell there's a difference.
Most people can. Now, I have a few friends who are musicians and high-end people. And, yes, they can tell the difference, and God love them.
Yeah.
For the rest of us who just want to be able to hum along in the shower, it's perfectly fine.
Yep. Yeah. Holds more audio and is physically smaller than the vinyl CD.
I used to own... a CD that played MP3s. Now my wife owns it.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it since February, literally February. Mm-hmm. But, I saw it one day because it was recharging in the kitchen table, so I've lied now. But, I remember, the quality was good enough for me.
So you know it's still good and
I know
working.
It still exists. That's what counts. Or I'd hear about it. We'd be buying a new one.
So when you play it on the $1,000 turntable with the $20,000 speakers, you'll tell the difference between vinyl and a CD.
Yes. Well, a friend of mine has gone back to vinyl and gone back to tubes because that's where you get the highest quality audio. And that's fair for him because he can hear the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I get excited playing my Louis Prima CDs on. You know, that works for me. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more news, phone calls, all kinds of interesting stuff on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Genesee Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Avon sold so many cars, trucks, Jeeps, and vans last year, we finished 2003 as one of Western New York's largest Chrysler Dodge Jeep dealers. We also finished 2003 with one of the highest customer satisfaction scores in the Northeast. But please don't think we're gloating. On the contrary, Genesee Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep is focused on making 2004 even better. So take the short drive to Genesee Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Avon. Find out why so many people drive right by so many other dealers to buy from us. Whether it's Genesee Valley's non-commissioned salespeople, our five-star service department open from 7 a.m. till 8 p.m. 6 days a week, our no-nonsense approach, or just better pricing, see for yourself. At the very least, if you're looking for a new Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, or reliable used car, add us to your shopping list. You do that, and we'll take care of the rest. Genesee Valley Chrysler Dodge Jeep, right off exit 10 of I-390 in Avon. Call 226-6000.
Ruby Gordon Furniture's New Year's Day sale was so successful that we've decided to let the good times roll until Sunday, 5 p.m. We repeat, Ruby Gordon Furniture's annual New Year's Day sale has been extended. We told you it was going to be the biggest New Year's sale ever, and it was. And the celebration continues with sale items in every department. Sofas, mattresses, bedrooms, dining room, leather sofas, over $1 million in accessories. And listen to this, with every purchase of $999 or more, you can still receive a trip for two to Orlando or Las Vegas, including airfare and hotel for two nights and 3 days, plus no payments, no interest for 12 months. It's all happening at Ruby Gordon. Save on famous names like Lane, Broyhill, Ashley, Simmons, Beautyrest, and King Coil. The names go on and on, and so do the savings, and pay nothing for one full year. No interest, no payment, not even a deposit. Buy the furniture you want now, and the trip for two to Las Vegas or Orlando is on us. Ruby Gordon Furniture on West Henrietta Road. We are Rochester's Furniture Store.
If it's Sunday, think Backus. That's the House of Backus Discount Wine and Liquor Store. The House of Backus, 1050 Ridge Road East, will now be open on Sundays from noon until 6 p.m. If it's Sunday, think Backus. That's the House of Backus Discount Wine and Liquor Store, 1050 Ridge Road East in Irondequoit, now open Sundays from noon till 6 p.m. Remember, if it's Sunday, think Backus.
Well, it's that time again. The time when Galleons lowers their already guaranteed low price on the gear that's pretty new and advanced to make room for the gear that's even newer and more advanced. It's the Galleons year-end clearance event, and you can save up to 50% store-wide, which means tremendous savings throughout our planet-sized store on the latest footwear, gear, and apparel. Save up to 50% on men's, women's, and kids' winter outerwear. Save 40% on our entire stock of clearance men's, women's, and kids' footwear. And save up to 50% in our camping, tennis, hunting, fishing, golf, and skiing departments. At these prices, the best gear, footwear, and apparel will disappear before you know it. So hurry in while supplies last, and help us make some room for that stuff you've been waiting for, and other stuff you didn't even know existed. The Galleons year-end clearance event going on now. Galleons Sports and Outdoor Adventure. What's next?
Closing in on 10 consecutive years of broadcasting, it's the Brenna and Brenna Law Forum this Sunday morning at 8 on 1180 WHAM.
$50,000 watts. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Craig Schaller on the board.
Was it a surprise to you when he started talking that we were going to come back?
No.
Apparently it was.
No, I had to take a quick sip of soda, which I won't get into why, but...
Yeah. Okay.
Let's leave it at that.
Let's leave it at that, and let's leave you to the news. We're going to go to Dave for the news now.
All right. Well, Intel, I got kind of the feeling that Microsoft's definitely behind this. I can see both sides of the fence on this one. Basically, what it is, folks, is you've heard us throughout the years talk about the BIOS. It's the basic input-output system of your computer. That's where the date, if that gets messed up in the computer, you go in there and set the date.
Yeah, it's also called setup.
Yeah, and you we tell you to hit the delete key, and you go into it, and you see these blue screens, and you can shut off, say, serial ports or onboard peripherals if you want. Or you can which we tell folks from time to time, if they want to, say, boot from a second hard drive. In a lot of the newer BIOS, you can go in and say, all right, when I boot up, go to the D drive. That's where my Linux is. Next time I might come back in, because it's a quick delete key and you get into it, so it's no big hassle. But what the Intel and Microsoft want to do is slowly phase this out. It's literally changing the international, the industry standards. And they claim that, you know, one, it'll help make it easier for manufacturers to add and write components to the newer breed of motherboards. And, you know, it will also make booting faster, because right now every time your machine boots up, it's got to check the BIOS to make sure everything that it thinks should be there is there. And then from there, then it'll load the operating system. So like I say, I can see both sides of the fence on this one, because they're saying it's going to be a tough sell. I don't think it's anything that you're going to see, like, maybe next week, but maybe on down, you know, in the future, maybe by 2005, you might see some of it come out more and more. But again, the key thing is getting other companies, which, you know, Intel and Microsoft can dictate it here. But most of our boards and everything else are made overseas.
And every board you currently own will not be compatible with this new thing,
exactly.
Probably.
So,
and it also depends on what they're going to charge in terms of royalties, because the companies are going to look and say, well, I'm paying this to Phoenix. Mm-hmm. What do I have to pay to Intel, and is it worth making the change?
So, yeah, it's going to be a long, hard sell, but just something that might be coming on the horizon.
We'll keep you informed. Mm-hmm. And a couple of interesting things here. There is a new worm spreading via MSN Messenger. It's just beginning to come out, but you want to be fairly careful of it. So update your antivirus. Trend Micro has a new version. Most of them have a new version out right now. The executable file is called JITUXRAMON.exe. GTUX RAM, Ramon, I don't know, whatever. But what
Ramon,
it does is basically...
Hang around here a little while.
Yeah, he used to. It doesn't seem to do anything at this point that they can tell, but it's out there. So if you're using MSN Messenger, God love you, and make sure you're updated. On the irony side, hackers have broken into an electronic voting firm. As you know, the government would love us to all be able to vote electronically, but many people, the Diebold, however you pronounce that, election systems of Canton, Ohio, are the people who are doing it. And what many people are saying is that this would be prone to hacking and changing the outcome. Well, somebody did in fact hack into them, and we'll see where that comes from. But here's the cool one. The folks at AOL, our friends at AOL, have put out a list of the spam messages, the top spam messages. Now, this is a completely unscientific survey of their stuff, and of course, you know, sometimes people put in asterisks or spaces or numbers to change what the subject line is. But all of those caveats aside, here's what AOL says are the 10 most common spam topics, in no particular order, I believe. Viagra and other drugs like Xanax, Valium, and Celebrex. Online pharmacy. Get out of debt. Enhancements.
Surgical,
I like
surgical
that.
Or drug related.
Enhancements of various sorts. For both men and women, let's
body
say
features.
Bodily feature enhancement. Online degree or diploma. Low mortgage rates. Low insurance rates. Work from home, be your own boss. Hot XXX action and lots of other porn variants. And as seen on Oprah. It's one of the top. Apparently, anytime somebody says, as seen on Oprah, lots and lots of people will click on it. We're going
to
take a break in just a minute or two, and then we promise we'll get right to the phones. Before we do that, let me talk about our trivia of the week. Every week, as you know, we have a trivia question. This week's fabulous prize is a copy of Star Office 7, courtesy of our friends at Serverware Corporation. Star Office 7 is a complete replacement for Microsoft Office. It includes a word processor, a spreadsheet, a presentation program like PowerPoint, a database like Access, a diagramming program like Visio. What else has it got in it? It'll save files as PDF documents. It'll save presentations as Flash. It does XML. I can't even begin to list everything it does. It's a $70 program, so even if you don't, even if you don't win it here, you can always go out and get your own copy, or you can go to openoffice.org and download a free version that contains fewer fonts, graphic things, graphic images, and stuff like that. But our question this week is, what device turned the Apple ImageWriter printer into a black and white scanner by replacing the printer's ribbon with an infrared LED and photocell? So answer that question correctly, and you too could come to the fabulous world headquarters of Wham! High atop the Euclid building and pick up your copy of Star Office 7. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Craig Shallard, and Mina Francesco on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Craig Shallon running the board.
And this is Soundbites. We are going to get to the calls in 1 second. I just want to remind everybody our trivia question of the day. It's actually for anybody who's been in the biz for a while, this is an easy one. What device turned the Apple ImageWriter printer into a black and white scanner by replacing the printer's ribbon with an infrared LED and photocell? Answer that question, and you too can pick up your very own copy of Star Office 7 here at the Wham! Studios between 9 and 5, Monday through Friday. Our first caller this week, Tim from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Tim. What's your question?
Yeah, I got a problem with my monitor cutting out. Just occasionally just pops in and pops out.
Time to get a new monitor.
Yeah, the first test is to see if it's the monitor or the video card. Yeah.
First thing to check is the cable.
Yeah, I checked the cable.
And that's not loose or anything, and it's not wrapped around anything.
What resolution are you running?
Pinched up against the wall.
What resolution are you running at?
1024
by 768?
Yeah.
How many colors?
256.
And what frequency? It might be
100 hertz.
Yeah, try backing it off to 75 hertz and see if the monitor works any better.
Yeah, you might be over pushing it.
Yeah,
sometimes it's the flyback transformer that controls
the scan rate. Have you tried updating any of the drivers?
Yeah, I've done a lot with DirectX or whatever.
Yeah. No, but that's not the driver for the monitor.
No.
I think the first suggestion is to back it up a little bit. Try either a lower frequency or fewer colors.
Is that 256?
Oh, right. A lower frequency, though.
Lower frequency, I seem to get a lot of movement on the screen, though.
You might, but the real question is to see if that's... I'm not talking about doing that permanently.
Okay.
I'm talking about doing that to see if it solves the problem. If it does, then you know it's a driver issue somewhere along the line. Then it's definitely a hardware problem.
Okay.
Have you tried a different monitor?
Nope, I haven't tried a different monitor. I mean, all it does is it's almost like a deke out, except it doesn't, the screen doesn't go all wavy. It just pops, and then it pops back on.
Yeah. Like I say, you might be, try a different monitor just to, if you have one around. Like
Yeah, I got another 17-inch downstairs.
Well, then try that one on it just to see the popping and all that, goes away. Then it was the monitor. Otherwise, that issue is still going to stay there, and then you're going to have an issue with probably your video card or the drivers on the video card.
Yeah. Now, this popping thing that happens, does it happen regularly? I mean, like every 2 minutes or... randomly?
It's probably like, you know, if I'm on for like 3 hours, it occurs once or twice.
Okay.
It's just irritating.
And it's not a power problem. You don't have a bunch of stuff plugged into that outlet, or you don't have bad power in your house or whatever.
No, I run a UPS to it, so it's protected anyway.
And the monitor's on the UPS?
Yeah.
Okay.
That might be overdrawing the UPS. How many amps does it support? Monitors are a big power draw, and you typically don't put it on your UPS unless you get a really big UPS.
Right.
I got a Bulldog or something, Dalkin.
Ooh,
I got a Dell system, and it was the UPS that Dell was offering. So.
You probably need at least 1,000 watts to run the computer and the monitor, right. And if you have your printer on it, too.
Yeah. Printer should never be on the UPS.
Yeah, printers suck a lot of juice. Laser printers, the inkjets hardly do any anymore.
Right. But there's no reason to have it on there. The main reason for the UPS is if power goes out, that you've got those few minutes to shut down the machine.
Right.
It gives surge protection, too, in case.
It can, depends on whether you get an inline monitor, an inline UPS or not. One thing you might want to try is in addition to what we just said, next step would be to not plug the UPS, the monitor into the UPS.
Okay.
And see if that solves the problem. And then third thing would be to lug that other monitor upstairs and see if that solves the problem.
Yeah, and that should automatically recognize and find the latest driver.
Yeah, it should. It shouldn't be a problem. And that'll narrow it down.
All right.
Okie doke.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it. Thanks for calling. Our next caller, Jeff, all the way from Seneca Falls, New York. Welcome, Jeff. What's your question?
Good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I use XP and Explorer on two different computers I have in my house for reasons I won't get into. I have one hooked up to DSL and the other hooked up to a cable. And the reason I mention that is for some reason they both simultaneously seem to exhibit this problem, which is if I'm, you know, have a website or a web page up, and let's say it's three screens, you know, tall.
Right.
If I click on the right, normally, you know, up until 3 or 4 weeks ago, I could click on the right, and it would index one page. So I could, you know, read.
Right, scroll down one whole page.
Yep. For some reason, it scrolls a page and a half now. And I can't find anywhere any settings, preferences, anything.
There is a preference somewhere where instead of scrolling one screen, it jumps the scroll to where you clicked. So if you're clicking a screen and a half down, it will jump a screen and a half. I don't remember where that setting is, though.
Yeah, I don't run Internet Explorer anymore. But this happened on both machines simultaneously?
That's the squirrely part. The only thing I can think of that I do to both of them is, you know, the Windows upgrades.
Yeah, I was just about to say it could be a Windows update feature that then changed that particular feature.
But I can't even find what I think Steve mentioned was a place to, you know, change the setting
Would that be a mouse option?
I would think it would be more
scrolling.
Either inside Explorer's preferences and under scrolling or viewing.
Uh-huh.
It may be in the mouse preferences, though.
Scroll to where I click
versus scrolling one screen in the direction I clicked.
All right. Well, if anyone knows anything, let me know. Thank you very much.
All right.
Yeah, boy, that's an interesting thing. It's clearly not his, you know, one system having a problem because it's now happening to both of them simultaneously.
That's after he did the updates.
And it's after he did the updates.
Gee, what might that be?
Well, yes, yes, we understand that. Yes, thank you.
All right.
There's nothing about it in the advanced functions of this. What an interesting thing this is. Hey, look at that. In my programs menu, my HTML's editor is StarOffice 7. How neat is that? We'll look into this, but I personally don't have any easy answer for you as to what could have caused. I wonder if it's an accessibility thing. No, it's not here. Could be somewhere else. Anyway, we're going to go to our next caller, which is Kevin, calling from a cell phone from wherever he is. Welcome, Kevin. What's your question?
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you.
Hey, I've got a question for you. I'm running Windows 98 with Office 2000, and my Outlook keeps on freezing up. I noticed the other day that there's a email with a large video file attached to it that still hasn't been sent from about 8 days ago.
Uh-huh.
So seems to be some type of coincidence. I can't delete the email out of my outbox because it says that it's already spooling, I think.
Yeah.
The mappy or something
in
along
the middle
those
of
lines.
Being sent.
Mm-hmm. How if this is like an eight, how big is this file?
Pretty significant. It's probably, it's about a minute and a half long video. I don't know offhand.
And who is your internet service provider?
DSL through FrontierNet.
Yeah, most internet providers have a 5 meg limit on email.
So the question is, how do we get rid of this? I think what you have to do is tell Outlook you want to work offline.
Or even disconnect the DSL so when Outlook tries to send, it doesn't see the server in an error message.
Right. Well, I was going to say, tell it you want to work offline.
Could you say
and see if that does it? That
what if he says send it later? Clicks on it and says
it's already in the outbox.
Yeah, but what if it'll let you send it, you know, stop it and send it later.
Right. See if you can do a pause or whatever.
Yeah, pause and then schedule it for later, and then try deleting it.
But I think if he says he wants to work offline, it'll say you have things in your outbox. What do you want to do? And you can say dump them or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever choice comes up.
Yeah, I've even gone in and tried to change the settings so that it automatically dumps everything in the outbox after like 3 days.
Yeah, but it won't dump something that's in the middle of going.
Right.
So try that. Try telling it you want to work offline.
And
let us know what happens.
Okay.
Thanks.
Hey, one other real quick question.
Yeah.
Do you guys know what Tango Manager is? When I've been trying to unlock this in Task Manager, I keep on seeing Tango Manager.
T-A-N-G-O?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not the security
Tango.
Tango. That's
his
for
name?
Clear.
T-A-N-G-O.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Oh, my heavens.
Carrick Limited Tango Matcher, a replacement for Ethernet created
Screen
by efficient
saver.
Networks.
Screen saver.
No, we're in Outlook, right?
Tango Manager FAQ. What's it's a task bus running.
Yeah, it's like a screen saver.
What is the Tango Manager? Tango Manager is a versatile product that installs, launches, and manages either both of these two products. Tango Access, which enables you to connect to high-speed broadband networks like DSL or PPOE, and Tango Support. So it might be part of your DSL software.
Okay.
No, DSL doesn't use that.
It might.
I've got DSL, and we don't use it.
Yeah.
Well, I've been noticing even Roadrunner now is installing something called Roadrunner Medic that runs in the background all the time to monitor your connection if you tell it to.
Yeah.
If you click on the start and on programs, do you have something called Efficient Networks?
I do.
That's it. That's Tango Manager.
Okay.
What you can also do is search your. Once you get the name of the process, you can search your hard drive for a file of that name if you're lucky enough and do a proper.
Well, you can do an uninstall of that efficiency.
Are you using the DSL over USB or Ethernet?
Ethernet.
Okay, then you don't need any extra driver software.
Yeah, if you go in the control panel, you should see that efficiency networking, and you can remove that.
You know, it's kind of funny. When I was in there, though, I killed it the other day in Task Manager. And the second that I did, my connectivity, my upload and download speed, like, doubled instantaneously.
Doubled?
Yeah. It was really slow. I was having some other challenges.
So you got rid of it and it got faster?
And it got faster.
Dump it. Dump it. Dump it.
I was running into a lot of notes about Tango Manager freezing systems.
Yeah,
dump it. All right?
All right, guys. Thanks for the help.
Thanks, Kevin. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break, but we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Craig Shellard, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
You can experience the Rochester Fitness Center for half the price with RochesterForLess.com. The Rochester Fitness Center, located behind McDonald's and Chi Lai Center, has everything to get you in shape. Circuit training, free weights, treadmills, elliptical machines, steam and sauna rooms, jacuzzi tubs, babysitting, a coffee and juice bar, and so much more. Get a 3-month membership to the Rochester Fitness Center for half the price. Check out RochesterForLess.com for more details.
Ow. Hi. Every time you cough, you kick me. I'm falling out of bed.
That four-hour cough medicine you bought wore off. Wish I had NyQuil cough. It's made to last all night. I could be sleeping now. Sorry, Binky. I didn't mean to kick you.
NyQuil cough. That stops your coughing, so you can sleep through the night. Cough medicine. Use as directed. From the makers of NyQuil.
Welcome aboard Airline, A&E's new real-life TV series that shows you all that can happen between here and there. For your viewing pleasure, I'd like to direct your attention to the antics of some of your fellow passengers.
May I please have 10 more ear sick bags? I'm wallpapering my living room.
Sir, please. Anyway, I hope you've got a craving for nuts, because there's probably one sitting in the seat next to you.
We all have our baggage.
Airline arrives Monday nights at 10, 9 Central, only on A&E.
It is the policy of Clear Channel to provide equal employment opportunity to all qualified individuals without regard to their race, color, religion, national origin, sex, age, disability, sexual orientation, or any other characteristic provided by law in all personnel actions. If your organization distributes information about employment opportunities to job seekers, please contact Kim Klein at Clear Channel Rochester by calling 585-454-4884. Write to her at 207 Midtown Plaza, Rochester, New York, 14604. Or log on to our website at clearchannelrochester.com for more details.
Sunday afternoon, it's the NFL wildcard round on Wham! The Denver Broncos meet the Indianapolis Colts Sunday at 4:15, and it's only on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
He's right. You know, I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Craig Schaller, pushing the buttons.
Pushing the buttons. And we're going to get back to the phones in just a minute, but before we do, I want to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you will find on our website. Every week we do a poll.
Yes, and we definitely had to talk about the poll
last
this week.
Week's poll.
Yes, who won that?
Last week's poll, we had 331 people vote in the poll, making it number 30 in the all-time hit list.
And how many did
Thank
you get,
Thank you very
Nick?
Much to each one of us. The poll choices, the poll was for 2004, I promise I will, and we had the choices of Back Up My Data Weekly, Check for Spyware Weekly, Update and Run My Antivirus Program Several Times a Week, all of which, by the way, are good suggestions for everybody. You should do all
but
of them.
But what was the number one pick?
Imagine Nick as the New Year baby.
And how many votes did Nick get?
148.
Gee, Steve, you and I...
It's not a popularity.
How many did you get?
I got 47.
I got 53. Rob got 69.
I mean, Rob beat us out.
And even if we combine either one of our three scores, two of them, they still don't equal next.
See, but here's the difference.
He even got 45%.
Imagining you guys unwrapped involves nudity. Imagining me dressed as the New Year's baby involves humor.
What's that got to do with the price of coffee?
It's a scarier thought.
It's a scarier thought, but a humorously scarier thought. That's the whole point.
45%.
So next week we got to do Craig.
This year's poll. We should do Craig. This year's poll. That's true. This year's poll.
Yeah. This year's first poll.
First one for this year.
Right. And also, if you prefer to think of it as this week's poll, comes to us from our very own Ms. Lolly Gag.
Whoa.
And the poll is, where do you store your passwords? Choices are in my memory, on paper, on a sticky note stuck to my monitor, taped under my keyboard.
I find them there quite a bit.
In case I forget, my mate or pet also knows it. Mate is not the word I would choose. Anyway, on paper locked in a safe or on an encoded file on my computer. So
which actually,
far,
that last question or last answer doesn't help much if you forget your password to get into your computer.
That's right. You do have to remember one password. So far, we've got 97 votes, and 52% of those votes are in my memory. So I guess if you only have one password or two passwords, my system only holds, like, the little program that I use only holds 64 passwords is an old piece of software that just has 64 mm-hmm. slots. And I've run out of the number of passwords at work, not at home. At home, I only have a dozen or so.
Yeah.
But at work, I've actually run out.
How many computers are you responsible for?
At work? Hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Well, that's why you've got it.
And every system has a different... If you break one of my passwords, you still can't get into the other system. I realize that's a tad anal, but you have to be that way.
No, you got it.
As a system administrator
these
days.
In college.
Absolutely.
You're number one if they want to sit there and, can we hack into
that
system?
That's right. And you can get into any one of my systems, but you start the process all over again in the next one.
We had a system administrator that would accidentally leave himself logged in when he left the computer lab, so we could do things. And then one day he accidentally deleted VMS from.
Nice.
From
the,
he forgot he was in his super account
super
and
mode,
typed delete star dot star.
Well, whenever I'm running a super user, it's a whole different. The color scheme tells me that.
And I love
the color scheme. I don't want to look at a lot, so I don't do other things in it.
Three guys from DEC show up with a mag tape to reload VMS, and they push the load button, and well, what do we do now for 3 hours?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Let's go to lunch, I guess.
That's it. Once you have, in fact, entered your poll choice, please check out the yellow box right under the poll, and you'll see that you can go to my website, asknick.com.
That's
asknick.com. And enter an opinion on the poll. We've already got 17 opinions, a couple of which seem to maybe have something to do with the poll itself. So that's kind of nice. So we would appreciate it if you would join us and talk about all the various things that you do to check out your passwords. And now we're going to go back to the phones after I remind you today's trivia question. For the fabulous prize being Star Office 7 from our friends at Serverware Corporation. The question is, what device turns the Apple ImageWriter printer into a black and white scanner by replacing the printer's ribbon with an infrared LED and photo cell? So we're back to the phones now, and our next caller is Steve from Penfield, New York. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Yes, good afternoon. I believe I have the answer to your trivia question.
You do?
Yes. Because I have one. I don't know where it is at the moment, but it's ThunderScan by Thunderware.
You win.
All right.
Congratulations. Scanner. It was a brilliant idea in its day. The idea being that, you know, you have this printer. The ImageWriter printer was a dot matrix printer in the days when that was state of the art. You have a printer, and it's 90% of a scanner. It's got something that moves paper. It's got something that moves ahead. Back and forth over that paper. So all you really need is the actual scanning mechanism. So the printer ribbon for the ImageWriter was a solid plastic cartridge that essentially set over the printhead. And they replaced that cartridge with their own electronics, including the LED and photo cell, and a padded back so that the pins from the ImageWriter printer would...
Part of the software was to tell the pins not to fire.
Right. And so then all it did was you put a picture in and scan. It was a great device. Steve, you're a winner.
Thank you.
Stay on the line, and the magnificent Craig Shallard will...
I do have a question. I was trying to think of a question while I was waiting.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I even found a picture of the old ThunderScan box.
There you go. So what's your question?
Well, in Windows XP, I have a compact flash card reader, and you know when you put the compact flash card in, a window pops up, says what you want to do, play the files, copy to your computer.
Right.
There's a thing there says take no action, and there's a little checkbox that says do this every time.
Yeah.
Well, I had checked that. Now when I put the card in, nothing happens, and I want to go back to getting that window back again. How do I do that?
Oh, man.
Is that under the properties of the device?
I think it's under, you right-click on the device in my, double-click my computer, which opens up a list of all your devices.
Okay.
Right-click on that thing.
Okay, the compact flash card reader plug-in USB, okay.
And select properties from there. I don't have one on this machine. I have one at home, and I've done this. And I think it's under that.
Okay.
Give it a shot.
I will try that, and I'll be staying in the line here.
Perfect. Okay. Stay on the line. Craig will be with you in just a moment after he puts us in touch with Rich from Roch. Welcome, Rich. What's your question?
Yes, good afternoon to you, and Happy New Year.
Same to you.
I just downloaded a bunch of
information or updates from Microsoft Windows, and it changed me. When I used to turn on the computer, it used to go right to my desktop. Now it comes to account user, or it comes to owner, and you have to click one of those to get on there. How can I get it back so that my desktop comes up automatically?
What it's asking for is for you to log into the computer as whichever user you want. After you log into that computer, you then go into the user's control panel and say, always log in as this user.
Right.
The user control panel, which would be account users?
Yeah, it's under the control panel. You'll see users.
Yeah, and account users.
And then in users, you can click on that one and select the way you log on for that particular account.
It has guest, owner, and ASAP machine.
Right, one of those options should be always log in as whatever user you want to use.
Okay, and I can set it up to say always log in as that.
Yeah, as whichever user you want.
Okay. The other thing is I talked to you a couple weeks ago about having trouble with my Java machine. I find virtual Java.
Right.
I went and downloaded all the information, or I completely reloaded Java from sun.com.
Right.
And I still get the message.
In everything you run, or in one particular program?
Just when I sign it on. Just signing on. When I first sign on, when it comes up, it pops up.
Signing on to what?
Sign on to turn the computer on.
Oh, so some program is trying to run to use Java, and it must be trying to run before Java's loaded.
It's got to be. It's got to be a problem with which order things are loading.
Do you have the full error message?
I can't find the thing right now. I'd have to do it over and call you back.
Yeah, it's the full error message should at least tell you what's trying to open the Java virtual machine. And that might give you a clue.
Okay, I'll try to get it again, and I'll give you a call back. But first, I'll change the password here. It's created, so I will log on.
There you go.
Okay. Good enough.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay.
Bye-bye. All right. Excellent. Our next caller is Ron, also from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
How important is defrag on a computer? I've got Windows 98 SE, and it will not defrag at all. It sat there and went through 10 times, and it sat at 10%.
Yeah, Rich.
It would not go anywhere. I tried it in safe
mode. Yeah, Rich,
mode.
One thing. Are you doing this in safe mode?
I tried it in safe mode. It won't do it.
It won't do it in safe mode?
Did you try it in DOS mode?
Pardon?
Well, you might have to run ScanDisk Thorough first. You may have a bad block that it can't scan around.
I tried that. I ran ScanDisk physically, ran in. I ran Norton 2003 through it.
And ScanDisk
finished?
Then
I went back to defrag, and it just sits at 10%.
How much free space do you have on the drive?
Quite a bit. I'm running 64 meg. 64 meg of RAM, and it's got quite a bit of free space.
No, on the hard drive.
Yeah, not the RAM, the hard drive.
Well, quite a bit of free space on the hard drive, too.
Okay.
One of the issues is that defrag isn't as necessary anymore.
Right.
A file gets fragmented when it gets saved onto the hard drive in multiple places. It fills into the first hole and then finds the second hole of space available. And it used to be that hard drives were so slow that you would notice the speed loss as it loads those files from all those different places. Today's computers and hard drives are so fast, you probably won't notice a speed performance issue as it loads the files from being fragmented. The only time you really would notice something like that is if you're dealing with large video files or large photo files and trying to open and work with very large files. But that doesn't really solve your issue about why defrag won't run.
Typically, defrag won't run because something in the background is running that accesses the hard drive. Whether it writes to it or reads from it, then what happens is defrag says, oh, something touched the hard drive, I have to start over again. And if it restarts 10 times without being able to finish, then it says I can't run. The thing that normally causes that to happen is, what's it called? The thing in Office.
Find fast, which theoretically shouldn't run in safe mode.
Right.
You might want to try running ScanDisk in DOS mode, and then you're absolutely sure that pretty much nothing is running.
Right.
I never wrote it in DOS mode before. I could try that.
Yeah, that would be your best bet, and then you're almost guaranteed to get a full run.
All right, I'll give that a try then.
Okie doke.
All right, thank you guys.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Craig Shallert, and me, Nick Francesco. on your favorite computer show, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Lamb's Rush Limbaugh.
Come to my office and try a test of the orgasmatron.
Rush Limbaugh.
The self-contained device resembling a pacemaker will be implanted beneath the skin, switched on and off with a remote control.
Well.
Why, my friends, can you imagine what happens if you lose that baby?
Rush Limbaugh. Weekdays, 2 till 5.
Holy doly and hallelujah.
On News Radio 1180. WHAM.
Animal Planet's hitting the streets of Miami, where officers battle a new breed of crime.
What a way to start a Monday.
Monday at 10 Eastern and Pacific. It's Animal Planet's new series, Miami Animal Police.
Do you have any weapons on you?
From alligators in the alley to snakes in the sewer. Ride along with real officers working real cases in the wildest city in America.
I got him.
Miami Animal Police. Monday and every weeknight at 10 Eastern and Pacific. Only on Animal Planet.
Quick question. Ever had a cold that only lasted 4 hours? Anybody? Then why take a 4-hour cold medicine? Instead, take Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill has the strength to give you 12 hours of relief. No stuffy nose, no throbbing head, all day. So what's it going to be? 12 hours of relief or symptoms that interrupt your day? Do I really need to ask?
Try non-drowsy Aleve Cold and Sinus. One pill, 12 hours of relief. Use as directed.
The following conversation is real. It took place on October 20th, 2003, between an OnStar advisor and a subscriber.
OnStar Center, this is Gilbert. I'm out.
I've got a question for you. Is it possible to buy phone minutes on OnStar but not be tied into a package?
Actually, you have to have an active OnStar subscription to be able to use the phone. All you do is just add a bundle of minutes and then use them.
That's kind of convenient. How does one add minutes?
You can add minutes by using a credit card.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free, voice-activated phone that's built into OnStar-equipped vehicles.
On a long trip from Canada to Central Florida, and I've just used my cell phone that's been breaking up. And how does somebody then get a hold of me?
Actually, I can give you the phone number of the vehicle.
Many Chevrolet cars and trucks are among the 51 GM models available with OnStar. OnStar Personal Calling is available in most markets. To learn more, visit your Chevy dealer or Chevy.com.
I think this is a great system, and thank you very much for your time.
It was my pleasure. You have a safe trip.
OnStar. Always there. Always ready.
Sunday night, the BCS Championship game is on Wham! It's the Oklahoma Sooners and the LSU Tigers Sunday night at 7:45, only on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Craig Schaller, running the board.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller, Lou from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Lou. What's your question?
Hi, Nick. Hi, fellas. Happy New Year to you all.
And happy New Year to you.
I recently bought a new computer, and I was wondering, how do I get some of the information off of my old computer onto my new one?
You got a small network?
No. Something I could buy or do?
Well, there's a couple of ways to do it. One way is to take the hard drive out of the old machine and put it in the new machine as a second drive.
Yeah.
And that'll copy some of the information from it. Now, it depends on what information you want.
Yeah.
If it's files that you wrote.
You can copy them onto a floppy or burn them onto a CD even.
Right. If it's files you wrote, no problem. If it's programs, 99% of all programs put all kinds of stuff in the registry. So in order to move them to the new machine, you'd have to know all the registry entries and put them in by hand.
You got
to
reinstall the software.
Easier to reinstall the software from the original CD.
Well, what I was particularly interested in is I have a QuickBooks program that I have some of my tax information on, and that won't let you transfer it over to...
On your QuickBooks, what you do is you go ahead and save it to your floppy like you normally would.
Mm-hmm.
You go ahead and install the software on a new machine. Now you say restore. And I'll say, okay, where is it?
You might have to do a backup on the old machine, not just a save. Or an export to a QIF.
Well, yeah, when you export it out, it saves it to a QIF.
Right.
Then you can say do a restore on the new machine. You put that floppy in, and it'll restore your data from that backup floppy to the new machine.
But you have to have the original whole program, right?
Oh, yes. You got to put the whole program back
in. Yeah, the old machine came with the program already installed, and I don't have the...
They should have also gave you a disk for it, too.
No, they didn't. Not when I bought it.
It's not
already installed. Right,
yeah, but
in
isn't
the machine.
It?
That's actually a big scam in the industry. Any pre-installed software, they are legally required to give you the installation.
But Compaq and them used to bury it, and Gateway and all them used to bury it on a separate CD with a lot of other stuff. You just got to do an explore on a lot of these CDs to see if the Quicken folder is on there.
Or you're probably even better off buying the new version of Quicken. It's only like $30-$40.
And yeah, and then do a restore from there.
Well, I got a new version, not the deluxe one, on my new machine, but I tried transferring it over and it won't let me do it.
No,
you can't just transfer.
No, you got to do a restore.
You have to do an export on the old machine and an import on the new machine.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Answers aren't always what they want to hear.
Well,
but
exactly.
The way life is.
Exactly.
Because our rule of thumb is, like you said, we'll move any data files, any documentation you've created. We can usually, if you're a big fan of Outlook Express or that, we can move the emails in your address book. But when it comes to applications, we just tell folks flat out, it's cheaper and easier reinstall. Because the time it takes, you know, you go to start a program and it'll say, all right, I need this file in this folder. So you go and get that one, move it over. Then it'll turn around and say, now I need this file to go in this other folder. And you just keep going and going and going. It just eats up too much time. It's quicker and easier and cleaner just to do a reinstall.
Yep. Our next caller, Joe from Rochester. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Hi. Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. I'm a novice, so I hope this makes sense.
We'll see.
I recently inadvertently deleted my keyboard, maybe my CD-ROM, I think, from my PC. I can only start it in safe mode because that doesn't require keyboard entry. But then I can't get it to acknowledge any of the CD-ROMs. Oddly, if I start it and I put in the Quick Restore, it'll acknowledge the Quick Restore. Then I can't do the Quick Restore because I don't have keyboard access. I'm kind of stuck there. I'm wondering if there's anything you can do about that.
What operating system are you running?
It's 98 Windows E.
Is this on a Compaq?
Yeah.
And do you get a keyboard error when you start it up?
I don't think so.
Does it say can't find keyboard?
No.
Because it almost sounded like the Pico fuse might have been blown.
Yeah, it's the keyboard or the PS2 port in the computer.
Yeah, what we're thinking here, Steve, Joe, is that it's not a software problem, but it is in fact a hardware problem.
When you get, can you get to like a DOS prompt and type off the keyboard onto like say a C prompt?
I can't because it'll give me a startup and it may start me up in normal, but I can't do that, so I have to cut it back down until it starts itself back up in safe mode, which I can use the mouse to key in with.
But can you use the keyboard?
No, not at all. It doesn't acknowledge it.
Then yeah, I think you've got a blown Pico fuse
in the keyboard itself.
No, it's
on the motherboard.
On the motherboard. It's what it is. It's a little fuse. It's maybe an eighth of an inch long, and you literally got to pull the whole motherboard out, find where the Pico fuse is, find the right voltage, and then unsolder it from the underside of the keyboard.
Or you add a
motherboard.
You add a PS2 I/O card or a USB keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah. What it sounds like here is
the USB keyboard. I have one. It won't acknowledge that either.
Well, that's a problem with Windows 98, of course, having bad USB support. So I think your best bet at this point is to bring it to a reputable dealer, two of which are sitting to my immediate left here. Bring it to a reputable dealer and have them do a little playing around and see which would be the easiest way to fix that.
How old of a machine is this?
Oh, it's old. It's like, you know, back in 2000.
Joe?
Yeah.
It's time to buy a new one.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
No.
Yeah, man.
Well,
yeah,
no. I mean, you'll be able to, you know, what you paid for that old one, what you can get for that same buck now, it'll amaze you. You know, you can get the whole system and usually a flat panel screen for around $1,000 now, right?
Oh, yeah, I have noticed I get the same machine now for about half as much.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Ultimately, of course, you can, depending on the case, you may just be able to replace the motherboard and keep all the other components.
If it's compact, it's proprietary.
Yeah, that's true. He said it was a compact, didn't he?
Yep.
Okay. Time to reach into that pocket there, Joe.
Thanks kindly, gentlemen.
Sorry.
Okay.
Take care now.
Yep.
New year, new computer.
New year, new computer. Our next call, I'd go for that if I didn't have to actually pay for it. Yep. Our next caller is Bill from Bushnell's Basin. Man, when I looked at that, I thought it said Bushmills Basin. Bill, welcome.
Hi, guys. Listen, I've got a compact 5838. I've had it for about 4 years, and it freezes up on me randomly within the first few minutes after I start it. And then if I shut down the power and reboot it, sometimes I have to go through that process four or five times. Once I have gone through it four or five times, it runs fine. I'm pretty sure from some dialogue I've had on the Internet with some guys at CNET that it's a hardware problem.
Yep.
And I don't know whether it's a motherboard or power supply. I've completely taken the computer apart and cleaned it out.
Yeah.
It's
something that we do all the time is literally we put it on the bench.
Yeah.
And we have this diagnostic software that literally tests all the components right from the hardware to the motherboard to the memory. And we do this for hours.
Yeah, and then you start replacing components.
And you just let it run all night until the following morning. And it, spits out a report and tells you, if anything failed.
Well.
Right. The problem that you're running into, I think, here, Bill, is that you've got some sort of hairline crack in one of the traces, one of the electrical traces on one of your boards.
Well, you think so?
Could
be. And what happens is when the computer is cold, obviously, those are separated. That
right.
Hairline crack is separated, and you now have a broken electrical path. When the system has heated up, which takes four or five reboots because it's not gonna run well, that board, the heat expands it, and it makes a cleaner join,
yeah.
And now it'll run for a while.
Okay.
So the question is what, and because it's a hairline trace, it's not something you're going to be able to see with the naked eye.
Probably less than a hair.
Probably. When they say hairline crack, they mean a
it can literally be
millimeter.
The IC chips in there.
Yeah.
Micrometer. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We're on the 130 nanometer process now,
right,
so it could be 130 nanometers wide.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And that's why, as Dave says, it's a tedious process of replacing pieces and replacing pieces and replacing pieces.
Right.
Assuming they can be done. Again, you've got a compact that's 4 years old. Finding replacement parts for that is not going to be all that easy.
Well, I can get parts, but...
Yeah, like you say, a diagnostic would be your best bet.
No, the motherboard's going to cost me, if I buy it from Hewlett-Packard, it'll cost me about $300.
Right. And that's half a new PC these days.
Yeah, the problem is I've got so much stuff on here. If I upgrade to Windows XP, then I'm going to have to learn the new operating system. I'm going to have to get new. I use Corel Word Perfect, and I'll have to get a new version of that.
That's no,
compatible.
That still works.
Version 8 will still work?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm still using Corel Draw 6 on my computer, and I'm running Windows XP.
And, by the way, you can run XP in classic mode, which makes it look more like Windows 98.
Yeah. So you're kind of saying the same things the guy said on CNET is that you have to spend more than $20 buy a new one.
You got it.
I'm sorry. But it's true, Bill.
Yeah.
You don't think it's a power supply then?
Like I say, wouldn't be able to tell without doing diagnostics.
Yeah. It's definitely something that gets better when it warms up.
It's probably a component
like
on the motherboard.
That's what it is. Listen, we got to take a break,
all right,
Bill.
Thanks an awful lot.
Thanks for calling. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Craig Shellard, and me, Nick Francesco, on your favorite computer show, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Centuries ago, the wise men of the Plains Nakuna tribe were counted upon to foretell the weather. Their weather predictions dictated when the tribe would hunt, plant, and harvest. The tribe's survival was in their hands.
These wise men suck.
Which is why the Nakuna no longer exist. Luckily, you have Rochester's Winter Weather Station. News Radio 1180, WHAM.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose the advanced medicine in Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil gives you better relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
For better relief, advance to Advil.
After our family reunion, I tried printing my digital photos at home. And unlike the reunion, printing was no picnic. I used all my ink and the prints didn't look good at all. So I went to Walgreens' new Digital Photo Center. They helped me make premium prints that last a lifetime. In fact, they're made by the same one-hour photo lab that makes my film prints. And they only cost 29 cents for each 4x6. Walgreens' new Digital Photo Center, where America takes its digital pictures.
The Goodyear Stockroom Clearance Tire Sale is going on right now. Our stockroom just can't hold any more tires, so we're clearing out a wide selection of popular Goodyear passenger, performance, and light truck tires. Plus, when you buy four selected Goodyear tires, you'll get up to a $50 cash card. But hurry, the Goodyear Stockroom Clearance Tire Sale and $50 cash card offer both end January 17th. Don't let these great deals pass you by. For complete details, call 1-800-GOODYEAR or visit any participating Goodyear retailer.
Have you seen that new plastic coffee container? Did you know it actually absorbs aroma from the coffee? At Maxwell House, we think the aroma should stay where it belongs. In the coffee, not the container. Our steel can won't absorb our rich coffee aroma, and unlike plastic, it's a perfect barrier against coffee's worst enemies, moisture and oxygen. So choose Maxwell House with the fresh steel can, and make every day good to the last drop.
Wham's Bob Matthews.
Keyshawn is a bad apt or bad actor and a bad guy to have on your team.
Weeknight, 6 till 8 on the Sports Leader. News Radio 1180 WHAM. These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Craig Scheller on the board.
And we have Jonathan, who seems to be calling from a payphone. Man, you need to get into us. Jonathan, are you there?
I'm here, and thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Hey, what, I'll describe my problem, and then I'll let you ask me any questions.
Okay.
Okay. I've got a relatively new HP with Windows XP on it. I have an 80-gig hard drive. I have 512K of RAM.
Cool.
All of a sudden, out of the blue, I'm constantly getting a low on virtual memory message.
Mm-hmm.
And this thing is running like I have 56K of RAM.
Yep.
And
oh, you pulled it right into Dave's favorite thing. Now, be quick, because the guy's going to pay for it.
Yep.
Well, okay, but I'm okay here.
Yeah, you on DSL or Roadrunner?
DSL.
All right, what you want to do is go to the Soundbites webpage.
Right.
And you go to the Security Tango.
Okay.
And follow those instructions. I guarantee you, after you run Stinger, Adware, and SpyBot, you will be calling us next week telling us how much faster that machine is running.
What you've probably got is like a zillion pieces of spyware.
I can guarantee it.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things I know my daughter downloaded,
because
I was actually looking for Nick's instructions in his column on how to totally remove it, because I know I haven't removed everything.
Yep, but like I say, you go run Adware and SpyBot, and I guarantee you, you're going to find that machine running a lot better.
Okay, and
guaranteed.
All right, and one more quick question, if I can.
It's your quarter.
I've got McAfee.
Half a buck,
I got the
man.
the firewall and the virus protection.
Yep.
And it says that in a file called randomizer.exe, which I don't know where it is. It's in a Windows file. It says that it's infected, but when I try to either quarantine it or delete it, it says it can't be moved and it can't be quarantined.
Have you tried running it in safe mode and do it?
No, I haven't.
Try running, starting the machine up in safe mode and running your scan from safe mode.
How do I run the scan from safe mode? Just hit on the toolbar and just.
All you do is hit the control key when it's booting up. You'll get the menu option. You can boot it up into safe mode.
Right.
And then just go in and run your normal scan from the Norton toolbar. You go to
not
McAfee. You just go to McAfee. Yep. You go to Start Programs McAfee and just say scan.
Now, is there any chance that this is a vital file that when I delete it, it'll create problems?
Nope.
All right.
No, it shouldn't be a problem. It should actually clean it up fine.
Yep.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
Good luck. Our next caller, Peter from Rochester. No. Who am I talking to?
Dave.
We're talking from David from Albion, New York.
Sorry, Peter.
We'll get to you. Hang on. Go ahead, David.
Hi, guys. I got two quick questions for you. When I go on the Internet to get to my Yahoo email, I get it says illegal program going to shut down.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll click on the X, and it'll shut the whole, not figure it off the Internet.
Right. What web browser are you using?
I'm using the Blue Frog. I'm going through the Internet on.
Right.
Dial-up.
But which browser? Explorer, Netscape, Mozilla?
It's the Microsoft Explorer.
Right.
Yeah.
Do other pages work?
Everything else seems to work. It just does it on the Yahoo email.
Have you...
A corrupt cookie.
It's very possible. The first thing... Go ahead.
Where's the
clear, first thing
where's
you the,
yeah, where's the clear cookie option in,
right.
in Explorer?
What you need to do is to go into Internet, is to Tools.
I already cleaned out both those files.
Did you clear your cookies?
Yep. Cleared it out last night. And I went and tried it again and still did it.
And you may need to go to the folder directly on the hard drive and see if anything got left in there that it... the
temporary Internet files.
Temporary Internet files.
Does this happen anywhere else on the net?
Nope. That's the only place.
The other thing I would suggest is that you system file checker.
All right.
And let it do any fixing. It may ask for your original CD. Yeah.
Okay.
And listen, I'm afraid we're done. That music tells me we're done.
All right, thank you, gentlemen.
I'm sorry, and I apologize to everybody else, and particularly Peter, who I said we were going to get to, and I apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. I want to thank everybody who called in.
Post your questions in the forums.
Post your questions in our forums. Sign on to our website and check out the poll and everything else. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Craig Schellert. I'm Nick Francesco. We'll be back here next week at the regular time, 12:20-ish p.m., on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This flu season has hit early and hard.